Sorry, to both say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Ayin. Welcome back to everybody from post-Pesach. Hope everybody had a wonderful, beautiful Yom Tov. So let's begin. So we left off yesterday, Tanan Hasam. Ayin Amud Aleph, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down from the top. So Tanan Hasam. Hapu'atos mekhan nekach u'memkaran mechar b'metaltlin. So we'll say Pu'atos, Rashi says over here, Tinokos b'nei teisha u'shmor kidar minan b'ani zokin. Young children of 8 or 9 years old. So this age already is the age in which a child has some level of capacity. But of course, halachically, a child is still considered to be a katan. So the Gemara says that the Pu'atos, if they go out and they sell something or they buy something, their transaction is legally valid. Amar Afram, lo shanu elo shein shem apotropos. So Afram qualified this. That's only true if what? There's not an apotropos. So mostly the assumption over here is that this is a child who's a yosom. This child is an orphan. So the only time that Raphim says that the actions or the transactions of the young children are significant is when the Maisa said there is no adult who is in charge of them. Who is in charge? Oh, there's an echo back. I'm sorry. So when there is a... I often hear myself talk, but this is a... Okay, in any event, so I'm sorry? All right. So Raphim says this is only true when there's an apotropos. Excuse me, when there's no apotropos. Because when there's an apotropos, when there is an adult there, so the Maisik, any adult is in charge of their transactions. If the adult is in charge of their transactions, then anything they do as children without the involvement of the adult will not be halachically valid. Aval yeshlam apotropos, but if there is an apotropos in charge of the financial realities of their life, and mekcha mekach, the imem kar mechar, then ultimately what they buy is not a valid purchase. What they sell is not valid either. So Gemara says, Mimai, where do we know this from? Midiktani, because if you look at our Mishnah, in maase katan klum. So remember again, the Mishnah that we just had yesterday, used this lashon, ended off with the wording of in maase katan klum, that the actions of a minor are meaningless. And Abbas said, remember again, this was talking about a situation where what? The Mishnah was talking about a situation where there was a shlish, where ultimately, again, there was a third party in charge of the financial realities of the children of the estate. V'dil mahecha di'ika shlish shiny. But one second, maybe we could say that lemaisa, that's only in the Mishnah's cases where there's a shlish, where there is a third party. Rashi says, shiny hacha di'ika shlish shenishtalish lakach. Remember, again, this was the case where the father went ahead and gave the money to the third party, which essentially is... Like going on here today. We got feedback. And so this is only a case where the father goes ahead and gives to the third party money. Remember, that's where he wanted him to buy a piece of land. So Rashi says, "Nishtalish lekach upir shulo ma'yaase bohen." And the father articulated what he wants done with these monies. Avala petropis inu elalasos sarche yisumim lechol hatzarech v'harim rochru elapotos in the shinis. What's like? Gemara wants to just follow this just a moment. The Gemara begins with a statement that what children do, the transactions of children, should stand. Raphim qualifies it and says that's only where there's no apotropos. But if there is an apotropos, then ultimately, again, the actions of the children are not legally binding. The Gemara says, where do we know that from? From our Mishnah. Because the Gemara wants to just, our Mishnah is a situation where the father goes ahead and entrusts money to a third party. And the Mishnah says that the actions of the minor are meaningless. To which the Gemara says, maybe the Mishnah is different. Maybe there's a difference between a shlish and an apotropos. A shlish is there, someone designated by the father to execute a particular task, versus an apotropos is there for the general welfare of the estate. Maybe when there's a shlish, that's where the actions of the children are meaningless, but where there is an apotropos, the actions of the children will be meaningful. To which the Gemara says, Im kein lisni aval biktana, Ya'aseh shlish, masho shlish biyado. If that's the case, and the Mishnah should have just simply said, but with the Kitano, the shlish should do that which he is appointed to do. My ein ma'aseh Kitana klum. Why does the Mishnah use such a general statement that the actions of the Kitana are meaningless? Shmamino afilu ba'alma. It comes to teach us that this is true even in a regular case. Rashi says, afilu da'alma, b'makom apetropis d'dami kitzas l'shlish. So we'll say at the end of the day, the Gemara ends off with accepting the qualification of Raphim, namely, that in the absence of an apotropos, if you have children who are 8 or 9 years old, which again is already the level where a child has das, child certainly has some level of intellect, so under certain circumstances, their transactions and their purchases will be halachically valid. But if lemaisa, again, there is an apotropis, or there is a shlish, there is someone else ultimately, again, who is acting on behalf of the estate, then in those particular circumstances, halacha lemaisa, the actions of the katan will be invalid. Hadron halach mitzias ha'isha. Hamadiris ishto midahanos lo. Ad, so we'll say this, another interesting case. A man makes a neder, prohibiting his wife from getting any benefits from him. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Hamadiris ishto midahanos lo. Ein hana'as tashmisho ne'es seres Allah. Dahamishubadla. So we'll say, Rashi points out, this is not talking about marital relations, because he has a biblical obligation to provide her with intimacy. So to which Rashi says, what are we talking about over here? Mizonos. So we'll say, so a man makes a neder, prohibiting himself from giving any benefit to his wife. This immediately impacts his ability to support her. Now we'll discuss why that is. So the Gemara says, so we'll say, now the Shaila is, can you sustain a marriage with such a neder? To which the Gemara says, everything depends on the duration of the neder. Ad la midyom, if the neder is 30 days or less, then ya'amit parnas. Then he should go ahead and he should set up, I'll say, so a parnas, Rashi says, it's shliach shifar sena. So he sets up a shaliach, and the shaliach will go ahead and support her. So we'll say, remember, what the Mishnah is suggesting over here is that he has to keep his neder not to benefit her, but he also has to support her. So what could he do? He could set up a shaliach and have the shaliach essentially support her. So this way, support is coming in, but he is still living within the confines of his neder. Yes, sir, mikan. But lemaisa, if he makes the neder for anything more than 30 days, then yotzi v'yitin ksuva. Then lemaisa, again, he should divorce her and he should give her a ksuva, because to make such a neder that lasts for more than 30 days is not appropriate for the sustainability of the marriage. Therefore, he should divorce her, pay her full ksuva. Rabbi Huda says, well, it depends. Rabbi Huda says it depends who's making the nether. If the husband is a Yisrael, so then Einachinami, if the nether is less than a month, then he should go, then the marriage is sustainable. They'll just ride out the nether. He'll support her through a third party. But if it's more than a month, meaning he calls it 2 months, then he has to divorce her and give her a ksuva. However, Bekoin, if the husband is a Kohen, then in that case, Shnayim Yikayim, we give him up to 2 months for such a neder, prohibiting hana'ah. But if the neder is more than 2 months, then what? Then lemais, unless he calls it 3 months, then he has to divorce her and give her a ksuvan. I will say, now the logic, what's the logic between distinguishing between Yisrael and a Kohen? So Rashi says, if be Yisrael, in Yisrael, who sheyachal ha'achsu es kushasuk. Here's the difference. A Yisrael, if he divorces his wife and then realizes that he made a mistake, has the ability to remarry her. A Kohen who divorces his wife and then realizes that he's made a mistake does not have the ability to remarry her. Therefore, Rabbi Huda suggests that Lemaisa give the Kohen an extra month for this neder. That way again, if he doesn't have to make an irreversible mistake. So the Gemara goes weiter. Hamadir is ishto shlotitam echa mikol peros. A man makes a neder prohibiting his wife from tasting any particular peros, any a fruit. Rashi says, "Echem mikol peros konim pri ploni alai vukiemla." Now, obviously, you can't actually go ahead and aser a fruit on someone else. Now, you can't do so. That's what Rashi points out. The case. So, I mean, let me take that back. You can. You could aser your fruit on someone else. I could say you cannot get benefit from my fruit, but I can't say to someone, you know what? I am prohibiting you from eating oranges. You can't make such an ed like that. That's what Rashi points out. The case over here is where she says, I make a neder not to get benefit from oranges, and what happens? He upholds the neder. So that counts, the Mishnah calls that, as if he assered her in oranges. The Mishnah calls that him assering her in something, since he is the one who is upholding the neder. So amadirs ishto shlotitom echad mikoperos, so what's talacha? Yotzi v'yitin ksuva. Yes, divorce her and give her a ksuva. Now, obviously, we'll discuss what exactly the nature of the severity of this neder is, especially given the fact that she is the one who is initiating it. Rabbi Huda says, again, same distinction as he mentioned before. Be Yisrael yom echa yikayim shnayim yotzi. So Rabbi Huda says, well, it depends. If the duration of the neder was for a day, then fine. they could ride it out. But if it's more than a day, then he should divorce her and give her a ksuva. However, with a kohen, ubekohen shnayim yikayim, shloshi yita yotzi vitein ksuva. But Rabbi say, if he is a kohen, we're lemaisik, and if he divorces her again, there is no ability to reverse that mistake, then we give the neder a little bit of extra time. If it's 2 days, he could remain married to her. But once the neder is 3 days or more, he should divorce her and give her the ksuva. Hamadris ishto shlot iskashet be'echad mikol haminin. If a man makes a neder, that his wife should not go ahead and literally use a particular type of perfume. Now, again, Rashi points out this is the same case where she's making the neder and he is upholding it. So what's the halacha? He should divorce her and give her her ksuva. Rabbi Yossi says, well, it depends. Ba'anios shelo nasan kitzva. If she was poor, then lemaisa, the only time he has to divorce her is if the neder has no duration. But if the neder has a particular duration, then lemaisa, again, he could go ahead and keep still maintain the marriage. Ubashiros, but if she was rich, then lemaisa, again, shloshim yom, then the maximum duration for such a neder, without it triggering immediate dissolution of the marriage, ultimately is 30 days. And Rashi points out over here, ba'aniyo shlo nosan kitzva, ba'ishas aniyam lo nosan kitzla davar ad masai asra leo, hu diyotzi v'yitin ksuva, avalim nosan kitzva, tamtin ad oso zman. So we'll say, so the logic over here is that a poor woman is not used to putting on perfume anyway. So therefore, the Rabbi Yossi will say that the only time such a neder will trigger dissolution of the marriage is when the neder is without a time limit. But that's for Aniya. But for an Ashira, for a wealthier woman who is used to wearing perfume, so again, as long as the neder is less than 30 days, fine, they'll ride it out. But more than 30 days automatically will trigger dissolution of the marriage. Plus, I forgot to mention before, the Shir this morning is sponsored by Nathan and Beth Adler in honor of the bris of their two grandsons. Mazel tov. Mazel tov. So says the Gemara, V'cheivan de mishubud la, heichi madir la. So we'll say, listen to this. So now we're going to spend the rest of today pretty much focusing on the first case in the Mishnah. So the first case in the Mishnah, remember, was a man who went ahead and made a neder to prohibit his wife from getting any benefits from him for 30 days. Right, or she gets any benefit from him. So remember again, some Rashi pointed out, this is not mizonos. So it's a neder, I'm not going to support you. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, if the neder is 30 days or less, then lemaisa, it's fine. Let him support her through a third party, and they'll ride it out. If it's more than 30 days, then lemaisa, that triggers immediate dissolution of the marriage. So it says the Gemara, I don't understand. V'cheyon nemishubud lo, heichi matzi madula. How does such a neder work? About say, in general, there is a concept that you can't go ahead and be mas, you can't be mas namash hakasav haTorah, which literally means you can't make a tenai or you can't make a neder that undermines an already existing obligation, especially a biblical obligation. Husband has an obligation to go ahead and support his wife. Who cares if he makes a neder? It's like, I'll give you a good equivalent. Let's say I make a neder, I'm not putting on tefillin. So is such a neder valid? No, such a neder, of course not. Or I make a neder that I'm going to eat tarfus. I make a neder that I'm going to be mechal shah. Whatever you fill in the blank. If you make a neder that runs contrary to an existing obligation, that neder is not binding. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The chivud meshubidla, since he's obligated to support her, heichi masi madula. How could he even make this neder? Kol kamine de mafkala l'shibude. Does he have a right to make a neder that undermines her entitlement of mizonos? Vatanah, we learned. If a woman goes ahead and says to her husband, I hereby answer all of my earnings to you, there is no need to annul such a vow. Why? Why, Abu Say? Because Lamaisa, he's entitled to her earnings. So because he is entitled to her earnings, any neder she makes is not going to undermine or take away his entitlement. Therefore, you see from here that any time that someone is entitled to something, a neder can undermine that. Alma, therefore, we see that since he's entitled to her earnings, her neder does not have the ability to uproot that entitlement. Therefore, over here as well, since he is obligated to provide her with mazonos, he does not have the right to what? He does not have the right to go ahead and uproot her entitlement. Ah, Ella, so how does this work? So remember, we're just trying to figure out right now what's the mitzias. What's the case of where a husband could ever make a neder prohibiting, or I should say, assuring his mizonos? Let me say differently. Where is the case where a husband could ever make a neder not to support his wife. Ella mitoch sheyachal lomer la tzi'i masi adech b'mzonoseich. But since he could say to her, there's something he can say to her. He could say to her, listen, keep your earnings, keep your masi adayim, and I'm not going to support you. So since he could go ahead and make that statement, then naase ke omer la tzi'i masi adech b'mzonoseich. Oh, so the Gemara says, when a husband makes a neder not to go ahead and give his wife mizonos, that is if effectively he said what? Go ahead and keep your earnings and support yourself. We'll call it even. You keep your earnings, I'll keep my support, and we'll call it a day. So what the Gemara is suggesting now is that when a husband makes a neder not to support his wife, that is the halachic equivalent of him saying, "Si'i ma'ase yadech limzonoseich." Keep your earnings, use it for your mizonos. V'im isa lahadir Rav Huna amarav. But one second, if we hold of that which Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Dam Rav Huna amarav, yichole isha shetomer lebayla. A woman could say to her husband, look, I'm not going to be supported. You don't have to support me. And I'm not giving you my masi adayim. I'm not going to, either I'm not going to work or I'm not giving you my earnings. Koneim, shani osa leficha, amai eino tzarech lahafer. If that's the case, so I will say, now that we've established that a woman can say to her husband, eini nizonus ve'eini osa, so I'm not going to, don't support me, and I'm also not going to work. If that's the case, then when a woman makes a neder saying, any of my earnings are prohibited to you, then why did we say before, amai eino tzarech lahafer? Why does a husband not have to annul that vow? Lema, why don't we say, mitoch sheyachol lomar eini nizonus ve'eini osa, since she could say, don't support me and I'm not working for you, or you're not giving my earnings, na'ase kimisha omer lo eini nizonus ve'eini osa. So we'll say, so you hear what the Gemara is asking? The Gemara is saying like this, since a man could go ahead and say to his wife, see, ma'aseyadech limzonoseich, keep your earnings, I'm not going to support you. So there, since he could say that, therefore when a man makes a neder saying that I'm not going to support you, the halachic translation of that neder is what? See, ma'aseyadech limzonoseich. Okay, well if that's the case, then Rav holds that a woman could say, eini nizonos ve'eini osa. I don't need the mizonos, thank you very much, mizonos is my entitlement, I'm forgiving the entitlement, but I'm also not giving you my earnings. If that's the case, then why don't we say that if a woman makes a neder to say, my earnings are prohibited to you. Remember, what did we say before? We just said in Amud Aleph, if a woman makes a neder that my earnings are prohibited to you, what does the husband have to do about that neder? Nothing. Why? Because he's entitled to her earnings. But why? Since she's able to go ahead and say, since she's able to say, eini nizonos ve'eini osa, I'm not working and don't support me. So therefore, if she makes a neder prohibiting her earnings on her husband, then we should translate that neder as saying what? Eini nizonos ve'eini osa. And therefore, if that's the case, her neder should be valid. And if her neder should be valid, the only way the husband could potentially get out of that neder is how? Is if he revokes it at the time that she says it. To which the Gemara says, Ela lo tema na'asa. Rather, yeah, let's go back. Don't say that when the husband makes the neder, it's as if he said, "Tzi'i ma'ase adech limzonoseich." Ella bi'omer tzi'i ella ba'omer lo tzi'i ma'aseich bimzonoseich. Rather, I will say the case of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that he made a neder, what he's actually it doesn't really mean he's making a neder. What it means instead is what is that lemaisa he actually says, "Tzi'i ma'ase yadech limzonoseich." Keep your earnings. Keep your earnings, and I'm not going to support you. Well, if that's the case, ihachi parnei slamala, but it doesn't make sense. If that's the case, that's what he's saying, you keep your earnings, I'm not going to support you, then why does the Mishnah mandate that the husband go ahead and set up a third party to go ahead and support her? Meaning, if they're essentially calling it even, she's keeping her earnings, he's keeping his mizonos, then why the need to set up a third party to support her? To which the Gemara says, b'dolo sapka. Oh, because the case over here is, although she's earning money, apparently she doesn't earn enough money to go ahead and take care of her expenses. Well, ibid alos, and therefore again, the parnis is there for the husband to give money to the parnis, the third party, to make up her shortfall. Well, ibid alos safka, hadra kushin leduchte. But one second, again, if she's not making enough money, then by definition, our question goes back to its original place, which is what Rabbo say. If she's not making enough money, then he is obligated to go ahead and give her what she needs. Amravashi, listen to this. She makes enough money for the major expenses, but doesn't make enough money for more minor things. So what are these small things? Differently, what's the nature of these small things that she doesn't make enough money for? We'll say if these are things that she is normally accustomed to having, so what does it matter, big or small? These are things that she's entitled to. And if it's not something she's accustomed to having, then why do I have to set up a whole system of a third party to give her something that she's not normally accustomed to having? To which the Gemara says, listen to this. These are talking about things that she was accustomed to having in her father's home. The kamagalgala bahadei. The kamagalgala bahadei. The amra le ad ha'idna delo adartan galgalina bahadok. So both say these are talking about things that she had in her father's home, but she didn't really have in her marriage. Meaning both say kamagalgala bahadei. Like, little, I guess we would translate today is she was willing to roll with him in the marriage. In other words, that lemaisa, you know what? When everything was fine, you can't give me everything I want, that's fine. We'll say it's actually a very profound Gemara. She says to him, until you made this ridiculous neder not to support me, I was willing to go along and live your lifestyle. Right? Meaning again, fine. You know what? You couldn't provide everything, that's absolutely fine. Hashta da adarton lo matzina de agalgo bahadach. But now that you made this neder and you're not supporting me, you're supporting me through a third party, you know what? I'm going to be makbid on what it is that I want. And Abbas, I remember again, this goes back to what we learned earlier that a husband is obligated to go out and support his wife because she's in comfort. And in comfort means that he's obligated to support her in the way in which she was supported in her father's home. Well, this is very, very profound Gemara. This goes back, if you remember again, remember we had the sugya about the frequency of conjugal obligations, of marital intimacy. So remember again, the Gemara spoke about if as a husband permitted to go ahead and switch from a profession where he's home more to a profession where he's home less, because he's going to get more money, but he's going to have less time with his wife. Remember what the Gemara said? That Rotsa Aisha Bekav Tiflos, that a woman would much rather settle for less money and more time with her husband. Very fine. So this is the same idea as well. When they're going ahead, let me say it differently. In a good marriage, a woman is really, I have to qualify that. There are plenty of marriages, unfortunately, won't take the more money. But in a good marriage, a woman would rather have her husband home more and have more of him, have more time with him, be with him more, and have a little less money than have more money not have him there. This is actually quite profound. So the Gemara is saying over here, you know, when things were fine in our marriage, so the truth is, I'm willing to be mevater, or mevateres, on many different things. I'm willing to give. But you know, if now already there's going to be the nature of a strained relationship, which you have to imagine this is, then lemaisa again, I'm going to be much more makbin on what I'm entitled to. Umashna adla meyom. So we'll say, so why 30 days? Right. So where is, remember again, the Mishnah said that he could support her through a third party up until 30 days. But if the neder is more than 30 days, then Yosef eating so. But why the 30-day distinction? Ad la meyom. Listen to this. Ad la meyom lo shmi ba inshi for lo zeila b'milsa. Because until 30 days, they could keep up this arrangement and they could keep it beneath the radar. People won't see it. People won't know about it, therefore it's not so degrading. Tfei, more than 30 days, Shami Bein Shi, people know about it, Vizela Bamilsa. And it becomes very degrading. So essentially the woman will say, you know, up until 30 days, if this is a phase or you're going through something, fine, I could deal with it. But more than 30 days will become public knowledge that I don't want a part of. Ebice, maybe the other possibility.
Correct. So apparently,
in the Cohen case, to give this whole, you know, the Gemara seems to feel the underlying piece in this is this doesn't happen in normal situation. This is the result of some type of marital strain. So with the Cohen, as much as now it will probably become public, because it's not sure become public after 30 days, doesn't distinguish between Cohen and non-Cohen, but we'd rather give him a little bit of a greater window of potential reconciliation. The other possibility is she'edira kishi arusa. So also the other possibility is what? Where he's going ahead and she's taking the neder when she is in arusa. The Gemara says, 1 second, arusa mi isle mizone? Doesn't arusa get mizono? So why would he be taking a neder not to support her during irusin? Or she is giyaz man velo nisu. Both say it takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. It's hard to imagine, right? We've been already in this Masechta for over 2 months. So remember again, the halacha is disnan, higiyaz man velo nisu ochlos mishlova ochlos b'truma. Also remember again, we already learned before that what? That lemaisa, like Zay just mentioned, you have 1 year from the time that you go ahead and you ask her to let's start getting married. That triggers a clock of 1 year. If he does not marry her within the 1 year, he assumes the responsibility to support her. Therefore, again, it's still Erusin, but he has an obligation on Mazonos, to which the Gemara says, Umayshna ad shloshim yom. So why 30 days? Sa'ad shloshim yom avich le'ach shlichusa. This is interesting. Tfei lo avich le'ach shlichusa.
because let's listen to this. If you ask someone to do something, you could pretty much count on them for 30 days. But after 30 days, l'maisa, again, you can't necessarily count on someone to continue to do you the favor correctly. So for 30 days, I could assume that he's going to take care of the support of my wife. After 30 days, I can no longer count on him. The other possibility is, shedira kishi arusa. Venises, the case is where the neder took place when she was in arusa. But, and that again, the neder wasn't valid during Erusin, but the neder will become valid when? During Nisuin. Ha savra v'kibla. But one second, Rabbi say, if a man made this neder during Erusin, and the woman still went forward with Nisuin, then what does that tell you? That tells you that she fully accepted the neder. So the Gemara says, the Amra, she said, kisvura ani. So Rabbi say, if she fully accepted the neder, those are the terms into which she entered the marriage, why should there be grounds for dissolution of the marriage? The Amra, because she says, Kisvura ani sha'ani yachol l'kabel, achshav, excuse me, Kisvura ani sha'ani yachol l'kabel, sha'ani yachol l'kabel, achshav, ein ani yachol l'kabel. Bosse, listen to this, because what did she say? She says, I thought I could live like this. Now it turns out that I know that I can't. Says the Gemara, one second, Eimar da'armin hachi gabi mumen. Now, Bosse, we're going to talk about this. This case will come up, and it's a fascinating case, where the husband has a mum. The husband has some type of blemish or defect. Now, we'll discuss exactly what kind of case is this, where the wife knows about it beforehand, and she gets married, and then she gets married, and she says, you know what, I thought I could live with this. I can't live with it. I can't live with it. So the Gemara says, we allow that in a case of mumin. Because they both say, we understand why that type of tana. Rashi says, b'shili perikin demasnisin, we'll see this. But the inyan mezoni mi'amrinan, but do we say something about mezonis? We'll say, look at Rashi, the inyan mezoni mi'amrinan, svura ha'yisiyodas, you know, if a husband has a mum and a woman says, I could live with this, and then it turns out that, remember, she's making that statement before they have an intimate life together, before they're waking up next to each other every single day. And then she gets married, she realizes, I can't live with this, okay. But mizonos, meaning she knows she's going to need to be supported. So like, what changed? There's no metzius that changes. So if she says that she accepted it going into Nisuin, why should she have the right to say, I thought I could live with it, but now I can't? Ella, the Gemara says, Mechavarta, Kiddush Shaninan Meikara. Rather, says the Gemara, it would appear that our original distinction is the one that we have to go with. The original distinction of Bosai was the one ultimately again of Tzi'i Ma'aseh Adech Limzon Oseich, where ultimately again, Lemaisa, when the husband makes this neder, it's as if he's going ahead and saying to her, you keep your earnings, I'll keep my mizonos. Shloshim yom, why the 30-day window? Because 30 days is the amount of time that she could kind of keep a lid on this, that it doesn't have to become public knowledge, but more than 30 days, ultimately, again, it becomes knowledge, and that becomes embarrassing for everyone else, and that would trigger grounds for dissolution of the marriage. Says the Gemara, at shloshim yom ya'ani parnas. So remember, for 30 days, he establishes, parnas, I will say, is a shliach. He goes ahead and he creates a third party to go out and support her. It says the Gemara, so the Gemara says, this doesn't make sense. Remember, the husband made a neder that he's not allowed to support his wife. He made a neder prohibiting himself from supporting his wife. So what is the Mishnah's suggestion? Go ahead and set up a third party who will support your wife. Very nice, but what? That third party is my shaliach. Shlucho shal adam kimo. So a person's agent is an extension of themselves. So in essence, I'm still supporting my wife in violation of my nether. To which the Gemara says, Amrafuna, what's the case? But Omer kalazan eno mafsid, where a husband makes an announcement, whoever supports my wife will not lose out. Which is another way of saying that if you support my wife, if you give my wife mizonos, I'll pay you back. So we'll say, what's the distinction in this case? See, in this case, I'm not explicitly appointing someone. I'm not saying you, Reuven, are my shaliach to go ahead and do this. I'm just simply making an open-ended statement. Whoever does it will be made whole. I'll compensate them. But even if he says this, is the person who ultimately fills this role, not acting as a shaliach, but an unrelearned, if someone was thrown into a pit, and he cries out, he says, whoever hears my voice, write a get for my wife. They should write a get and deliver a get on the husband's behalf. So what do you see from here? You see from here that even non-explicit appointment of an individual, but nevertheless a general request for someone to do something, whoever fulfills that task, ultimately again becomes the agent of the person calling out. So too over here, if a guy says, Kol hazan ein lo malchus, whoever supports my wife will not lose that or anything, it should still be considered the husband's shaliach. And if it's the husband's shaliach, we're still back to the original question, to which the Gemara says, Haki hashta hasam ka'amar yichdov, hachami ka'amar yazum, Kol hazan ka'amar. There's a difference. In the get case, the husband is delivering a directive, meaning write the get. So I understand he's delivering the directive, and therefore what Rabbi say, the person who does it ultimately is considered to be a shaliach. In the Mizonos case, what is the husband saying? Kol hazan, whoever supports. Meaning, there's not an explicit charge to someone, even a general someone, to go and do something. Rather, there's a general statement, if you happen to do this, I will make sure to go ahead and reimburse you. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that Lemaisa, that's why the person who ultimately supports the wife is not considered to be the shaliach of the husband. I, v'hamar Rabbi Ami, b'deleike etiru lomar, kolam mechabe eno masid b'deleike. But one second, Rabbi Ami said, Rabbi says, an interesting case, you saw this in Shabbos, that if a fire chas v'shalom breaks out in the house of a Jew, Rabbi says, remember again, if a fire breaks out in one's home, one is not permitted to put out the fire. Now, I want to clarify this. Today's day and age, you absolutely should put out the fire. Because with gas lines, with electricity, you have to, it's sakonos nefashos. Times of the Gemara, where a person has obviously no electricity, no gas. So what happens? A fire breaks out. You know, I might be the only house for 2 miles. So again, I run the risk of losing what? My money. Assuming everybody's out of the house. So the halacha is you can't put out the fire, which is the malacha of mechaba, of extinguishing for the sake of saving your money. But Chazal also know human nature, and human nature is such as that most people will not be able to simply stand by watching their house burn down. They'll end up going ahead and putting it out. In order to avoid this, Chazal said that if you see your house burning on Shabbos Chas V'Shalom, a person can make the statement, "Kol ha'mechabe eino mafsid," right? "Kol ha'mechabe eino mafsid," that whoever puts out the fire in my house will not lose that. In other words, it's another way of saying, please put out the fire and I will pay you for your services. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Ami allowed this in the case of a fire. B'deleiko, lemi utemai. So both say Rabbi Ami says we allow this in a case of a fire. And the fact that he says we allow this in a case of fire sounds like he's coming to exclude another case. Which case is he coming to exclude? My love, lemi ute ki agavna. Is he not coming to exclude our case? Namely, that the husband cannot say kol hazan eino mafsid, because they both say that would still be like the appointment of a shaliach. Lo, lemi ute shar isurim de Shabbos. No, rather he's coming to exclude other... excuse me, other Isurim of Shabbos. That Lemaisa, again, you can't go ahead and use this to go ahead and ask others to violate other Isurim on your behalf. Masir Rabba, Rabba raised the kasha, Hamudu Hanoa Mechaveiro. We'll say if someone makes a neder, literally, no, we'll say Hamudu Hanoa Mechaveiro means someone makes a neder prohibiting his friends from getting benefit from him. Now, listen to this case. So let's say I make an edir saying, Reuven, you can't get any benefits from me. Can't get any benefit from me, from anything, from me or from my stuff. What's the problem? Now Reuven has no food. And I want to be able to give Reuven food. Only one problem, which is what? I made a neder not to benefit Reuven in any way. So what could I do? So let's say I go to the shopkeeper, I go to the makolet that I normally go to, the Yomar Lo, and I say to the shopkeeper, Ish ploni mudah hanami many. Listen, Reuven can't get any benefits from me. Ve'imi yodea ma'an asalo. And boy, I have no idea what to do for him. So what does the makolet owner do? Who knows, Saint Lo? So the makolet owner goes ahead and gives Reuven everything he needs. Ve'no tell me zeh. And I will say, what does he do? He comes back to me and he puts it on my tab. So the Gemara says, Hachi hu dishari. So we'll say, this is a case that's permitted. Ava kol hazan eino mafsid. So we'll say, so perhaps you could say the reason why this case is permitted is why? Because here I'm not even issuing like a vague directive. Here I'm just giving information and hoping that the shopkeeper is smart enough to understand what to do with the information. But perhaps even if I say kol hazan eino mafsid, if I make this statement, whoever supports my wife will not lose, that's too much of a targeted statement. That's still a directive. To which the Gemara says, So we'll say, the Gemara is saying, no, it goes without saying that the statement of Kol hazan eino mafsid will work. Why? Because we'll say, I'm not even talking to an individual. Who am I talking to? Right? As they say, the Welt, right? I'm just making a statement, a general statement. About high, even the regular, let's love the cause of a kamar. They command the armor, they zil havle at dummy. But I might have thought that in the case of the chenvini, of the makolet owner, when I go over and I say this to him, it's as if I'm mamish appointing him as my shaliach. Kamash Malam, no. Kamash Malam said that even though I'm only talking to one particular person, nevertheless, what? Because I'm not issuing a direct directive, he's not my shaleach. So what comes out over here from this Gemara is that Lamaisa, the way we understand it is that the reason why the appointment of the parnis, of the third party who's supporting my wife after I made this neder, is not considered to be a shlichos, is not considered to be an agency, is because I'm not appointing him explicitly. Rather, I'm making a statement of kolazan eno mafsid. Whoever goes ahead and supports my wife will not lose anything. Such a general statement is not considered to be appointment of a shaliach, and therefore I'm not in violation of my neder. Let's go a little bit weiter. We'll say, Gufa, Hamudra Hanam Mechavero, if there was another, you want to go back and revisit one of the previous cases. A person makes a neder, prohibiting his friend from getting benefit from him. But the friend, we'll call him Ruvain. So my friend doesn't have anything to eat. So remember, this case we just read. So I made a neder prohibiting Ruvain from getting benefit from me, but Ruvain doesn't have any food. I go to the makolot owner. I say to him, you know, Ruvain doesn't have any food, and I just don't know what to do about him. So who knows? So what happens? So the shopkeeper goes, gives Ruvain everything he needs, and he puts it on my tab. Similarly, let's say Ruvain's house is in need of repair, or his fence is in need of repair, or his field needs to be harvested, and he doesn't have money to pay for workers. I'd love to help him, but at the same time, I made this neder. So what's the halacha? I go to workers that I normally work with. Va'omer lohem ish ploni mudah harnami meni. Ruvain is not permitted to get benefit from me. Ve'eni yodeh ma'aselo, and I don't know what to do for him. So the Gemara, and what happens? Hein osin imo uba'an v'notlin scharan mizeh. So we'll say same thing. The workers. Now these are workers that I normally do business with. The workers go do the work in Ruvain's field, and what do? They give me the bill. So I'll say in all of these cases, I'm making statements of fact by people who have a relationship with me and know that I will pay them for their services. I'm not explicitly asking them to do anything for Ruvain. I'm informing them of Ruvain's destitute circumstances. They understand the cue. They go do the work. They come to me for pay, and I take care of that. And therefore, I'm able to go and help Ruvain while still live within the confines of my particular neder. Similarly, so Hayumahal is another interesting case. Hayumahalchin bederech ve'eni mo mayocha. Rabbi says, let's say Reuven and I are traveling together, and what happens? Again, same case. I made the neder prohibiting benefit from prohibiting me from giving him any benefit, and it turns out he runs out of food and I have food. So what do we do? So no sin la'achar l'shematana v'halo no tel va'ochel umutar. So what happens? So I go ahead and I give it, assuming this is a third party traveling with us, I give it to Shimon. I say, Shimon, here you go. Right, this is for your matana. And then Reuven could go and get the food from Shimon, and that's totally mutter. But if there's no other one there, meaning let's say it's just me and Reuven, so what do? Maniach agabe asela or agabe hageder. I put the food on top of a rock or on top of the fence. Va'omer harehein mufkarin l'chol mishiyachbos. And I go ahead and I say, the food is hefker. Food is hefker. Va'alo notel va'ochel umutter. And the other party, meaning again Reuven, goes ahead and takes it. And it's totally mutter. V'Rabbi Yossi Oser. And Rabbi Yossi says that it's Oser. Amar Rava, my time is Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say this doesn't work? Gezeira Mishom Ma'as. Ma'aseh de Beis Choron, because also Rabbi Yossi is concerned about the episode of Beis Choron. Now Rashi points out, this is in Maseches Nedarim, what happened in Beis Choron. So in Beis Choron, something fascinating happened. A man had a neder going ahead, and I don't remember actually, the case in Beis Choron was, a man was making a wedding for his son, and the father of the chassan wanted his father, the grandfather of the chassan, to go ahead and come to the wedding. The problem is that he had made a neder, or his father had made a neder, prohibiting any benefits from his son. So what the father wanted to do is the father gave over the wedding banquet, the food, and the courtyard over to a third party, and said, I'm giving this over to you in order that my father, the grandfather of the chassan, could come to the wedding. So the guy who he gave it over to said, wonderful, if you're giving this over to me, harehein mukdashin. He was makdish everything. Right? He gave it to me, right? He was makdish everything. So the father of the chassan said, wait just one second, that's not why I gave it to you. Right? I only gave it to you for one particular purpose. And I will say, now once he said that, it was clear that this was not a real conveyance, because it was not, so it was a sham. It was a sham in order to allow the grandfather of the chassan, to attend. So Rabbi Yossi therefore saw that people, when they were doing these type of gifts, in order to be able to circumvent nedarim, were not really giving wholehearted gifts. Therefore, again, Rabbi Yossi outlawed these practices and said that these type of gifts, in order to circumvent nedarim, do not work. But Lamaisa Rabbi Yossi, we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. We pass like the first opinion that this type of setup, in fact, does work. That if a person made a neder prohibiting another from getting benefit from him, but that other person who is the subject of the neder is in destitute, is in difficult circumstances, so the person who made the neder is permitted to what we'll call hint to service providers that this other person is in trouble. They can go ahead and render the service, and they could come back to the neder maker ultimately for payment. All right, so we'll stop over here. Here's the Shem, pick up at the two dots tomorrow.